Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. An incident of a saint of the 5th or the 6th century was spoken about. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi. He had recited some couplets and the Mubarak hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had appeared until he kissed the hand and the hand went back. He's of a very glorious period of the Islamic history. Find this Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah is about the same time, in the 5th century. So with a lot of great luminaries that were born around that time. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani. People say Jilani. So it is Jilan. Up till now you'll get this Irani Hajis. So some of them coming from Jilan. So it's marked on the kurtas or whatever. Jilan. Sometimes it's with the gaf, Gailan. Like how the Arabs also. One qirat they got it as Inni Asaluka al Ganna. Instead of Inni Asaluka al Janna. This merging of the soul and maintaining right beliefs was a little bit difficult for many people. But it was a unique quality of our ulama of Dioban that they said it as it were. The beliefs were not adulterated and contaminated. They kept it in its pure form. And the ishq, they didn't compromise. So to be able to balance the both, that the ishq is kept at the right level, at a very high level, and not contaminating the beliefs. Beliefs also right. Har havas na ke na bayad. Every person can't maintain the both. If he's going on ishq, then he's mixing up the aqaid. And he's going on aqaid, then he's compromising on ishq, right? You see now the Wahhabis, right? Then in the aspect of ishq, etc., then they're not so particular. They'll have different type of statements. One time, Duruf Shari is enough to go now. They'll quote the hadith, لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا, right at the Rose Mubarak. And then you'll get one person coming and saying, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ, it's a mayyit now, move away. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So on one side they go and compromise the muhabbat, and on one side they overdo the ishq. So you got both the extremes. Now to be able to keep both, balance the both, keep them correctly, is not the work of everybody. That was a unique feature with our mashayikh, our ulama kiram, that they showed the aqaid as it were, and they showed the ishq as it's supposed to be shown. You can't find anybody who that level of ishq and muhabbat as them, but by the same token, you can't find anybody as firm on the right beliefs as they are. So both, they held on both. They say in Persian, Darkaf Sandan Ishq. On one hand, the goblet of Ishq. And on the other side, you've got the standard of the Sharia. So the goblet of Ishq, and on the other side, the standard of the Sharia, to be able to maintain the both, you know, everybody can't do it. So the importance to get both right in place. Ishq also has to go at an extremely high level, but the aqaid also can't be affected for a single second, can't be affected. So those that went off and someone began to believe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be omnipresent, someone felt that whenever we are having a milad, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is present there, right? Someone felt that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is higher than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And I was surprised. I thought it was only in India that this was happening. A born South African, I was in Marisburg, right at the Kabristan. Someone passed away, that Musa Lurgat, his mother passed away in Kabristan. So my habit is that at the Kabristan, if there's some time, I'll go and read Quran Sharif right around the other Amwat, Mayyitin, right? Everybody, all Muslim brothers, make salam to everybody, greet everybody, read Quran Sharif for everybody. Don't restrict it to one person or to the second person, everybody. We also, if we are dead, we'll like someone to come and visit us as well. Right? Something this side also. The poor man, Musa Lani, something is said also. So, we'll also want something. So, read Quran Sharif, sent for everybody, whoever is there, the known or the unknown. Alaman arafta wa man lam ta'rif. Salam for everybody. So, sawab for everybody also. Alright, there is some sawab for some special people as well. Like, you come back from Umrah or Hajj, you bring some special presents for the wife, for your parents, for your children. But then for the general friends, people of the masjid, you bring something general. So something specific and something general as well. Everybody is in his place. Right? So I was there, and one person asked about the same thing. The gist of his question was, that who comes first, Allah Ta'ala or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Now, see, the aqidah is off. Now, when you listen to all type of bayans here, there, everywhere, then you can't think right, you can't reason, can't understand. Right. Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi was about the first person in our ulama who spoke so openly, right? And he said, agar Khuda Ta'ala ne chaha, to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki tarah se, hazaron aadmi ko bana sakte hain. If Allah Ta'ala willed, He can make the life of, likes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He can make thousands the like of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there is one great muhaddis, Ahmad Ali Saharanpuri. This footnotes of the Bukhari Sharif are his, till about the 24th or the 25th para, and from there onwards it's Mawlana Qasim Nanuti Sahib Rahmatullahi. But Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi written in such a way that you can't differentiate whose footnotes, where Muhammad Ali's end up and where Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi starts off. Right? So, nonetheless, Mawlana Ahmad Ali Saharanpuri Sahib, he had a printing press as well. So one person came up to him and he says, but isn't this a statement of disbelief to say that agar Khuda Ta'ala ne chaha to Nabi Sam ki tarah se lakho aadmi ko pe bana de. Allah Ta'ala world, he could have made thousands and millions of people like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How he came to the conclusion of disbelief, he says, you know, he says, just make Nabi Sallallahu people like him. So we say, just make. So this is a word of tahqeer. In other words, it's a word to despise. In other words, it's a simple thing. It's an ordinary thing. So now, you're considering who as an ordinary person? Nabi Sassan. Considering Nabi Sassan as an ordinary, simple person. So you don't have the respect. So if he doesn't have the respect, then obviously he goes out of Islam. So Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib, Mawlana Ahmad Ali Saharanpuri Sahib explained, here is not to show the hikarat of the shan, of the splendor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the glory of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's to show how easy this thing is, how simple, simplicity of the work, not of the personality. The personality is different, and the making is something else, something totally different. So the personality, we don't dispute the greatness, the splendor, the glory of the person, but the making of the person, making is so simple for Allah Ta'ala. So he said, well, this is just a ta'wil. You know, Mawlanas, they like to just give out an explanation, an interpretation, and come out of the problem. Give a story, and come out of the story. So our senior Buzurgan-e-Din, they didn't like to get drawn into an argument, long, prolonged discussion. They leave it. Because they can see now, if you get into a deeper discussion, this person either is not in the state of mind to accept, right, or he's not going to answer, he's not going to understand now, not in the state of mind to accept now, or he doesn't have the capacity to understand it. So on some other occasion, when the person is right, it's called the mental capacity, then we'll explain that to him. Anyway, the same person came to Maulana Muhammad Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says, Maulana, you've got a printing press, and there is a need to print the Baydawi Sharif, you know. Baydawi Sharif is a tafsir. So you can just print it, man. We need about 100,000 copies, you can just print it. So Maulana told him, see, Baydawi Sharif is a tafsir. The tafsir of what? Tafsir of the Quran. Right? So the Quran is the text, and then it is the commentary of the text. Right? So when you say that you can just print the Baydawi Sharif, that means you are making tahqir, you are despising the tafsir. And a part of the tafsir is the Quran. So you, when you're despising the Baydawi Sharif, you're despising the Quran, because it's part of the commentary. And the Quran is, yeah, there's nothing more glorious than the Quran, you know, because it is the sifat and the attribute of Allah Ta'ala, it's the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So now what's going to be your position now? So no, Mawla, I meant that this, the making of it is so easy, because you've got a printing press, for you to publish it, she said, now when it affects you, then you get to understand. Until it didn't hit you directly, so you were quick to label the person as kafir. But when it affects you now, now you have to look for a way to get out of it. So to be able to marry the both, to reconcile the both, is not everybody's work. You need that level of understanding, righteousness, virtue, etc., to be able to comprehend, to be able to grasp this facts here. So in this day, the problem is that we look too much. We look too many books, too many things, but we comprehend and digest very little. The type of stomach we got, everything is just julaping, you know. It's coming out, going and coming out. So it's not really digested, and the energy is not converted and passed on to the body. Pushing it, coming out, pushing, coming out. Coming out of the system, not transforming into energy, and not transforming to any work, any substance. Nonetheless, we were speaking of Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and explained that there were two groups. One went on this end, one went on the other end, both extreme. One went on the love of Nabi Sassam, they went to such an extreme that they gave him a position higher than Allah Ta'ala's. Now that's also wrong. When we talk of Allah Ta'ala, then we say, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Those names are exclusive to him. A name means the attributes are exclusive to him. But if you are going to say that this person also is equal to Nabi Sassam in this regard, is equal to Allah Ta'ala in this regard, then that is called polytheism, right? Shirk. Because Allah Ta'ala is unique. When he's unique in what respect? In his name and in his attributes. But if in any single attribute you say that he is identical to Allah Ta'ala, then you have made shirk. You are guilty of polytheism. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has given you a minuscule of his attribute. Like Allah can see and he can hear. He hears and he sees. So you hear and you see. But your hearing and seeing compared to Allah Ta'ala's is like nothing. Like a drop of water compared to the ocean. The drop, you will call it a water, but can you compare it to the ocean? There's no comparison. So you are like that. So you are like nothing. You've got one cent in your pocket and there is one person who owns, say, for example, 300 trillion pounds. The net wealth of the entire world he owns. And you've got 1 cent in your pocket. So you can say that you are wealthy also, but your wealth compared to that person, is nothing. Don't kid around. You've got nothing here. You're a pauper, right? You're a broken Johnny, right? So you'll say, right? So you can't compare yourself with this person here. What do you got? So the whole world compared to Allah is like that. Like someone has got a cent, And the reserves of Allah Ta'ala, to say 3 trillion is also under-eating, is unlimited. There's no limit. Limited, unlimited. It's an ocean without a shore. Now just imagine an ocean without a shore. So Allah Ta'ala is like that. An ocean without a shore. Every attribute of His is like that. So to get these attributes right, to get the sifat and the qualities of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes you don't realize that in exaggerating these things here, really we are not showing respect, we are showing disrespect. Like last night I said, look at the contribution, the blessings, the bounties of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? You hear of Uhud, you hear of Badr, you hear of his sacrifices, his own family, etc., the difficulty, right? And then if we were to reward him, return it, reciprocate by doing something once in the year, then I ask, is it fair? Is it in keeping with respect? That is like a Western culture, that they got no time for their parents, no time for their siblings, no time for their elders. So they'll have one day for their father, right? And in that one day, they'll show all the love, right? They'll wear t-shirts, I love my father, I love my mother, give some presents, and they forget the mother and the father for the whole year thereafter. Come the next year again, on the same day, then they'll show that I love my father, get some chocolates, sweets, etc., etc., spoil them, and then forget them for the entire year. So I say, do we compare Nabi Sallam to this? We didn't realize that we didn't show the respect. We lost respect. When we compared him to how these Western people consider and take their elders, that we have really forgotten and we have missed the plot. His favors and bounties are such that all the time, every day we're supposed to be doing it. 3-4 things we're supposed to be doing of his every day, the Durood Sharif, his teachings, learning it and passing it on, then applying the application of his ways. So this must be done every day. Not just once in the day, several times every day. The minimum durood that our ulama are saying is 300. So they're talking of a milad plan, not once a year, a daily milad plan. Because you won't find one single of these people here who recites durood sharif on Nabi Sallam 300 times a day. Here we're saying it's an entry level, you know, like a grade one. If you want metric, then at least a couple of thousands you must read. Not just 100 and 200 and say, you know, I did some kamal here. So sometimes we don't explain this aqaid, and we say, no, it'll be fitna and all that, and because of the fitna, we don't explain it. And sometimes we don't take the trouble to learn our aqaid correctly and teach the people. The idea is to teach them, see what's the right aqaid, and then explain it to them. So we were talking of Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali, right? 555, that's the year. So he had reached a position very high, very, very high. Right? Imagine Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, he was there present around at that time, and he felt envious of him. When they asked him, didn't you envy him? He said, you're asking me, I envied the malaika that were in the heavens, they were envying this person. For what Allah Ta'ala had blessed him, they were envious. So, the Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Ali and his position, just to make you understand what his position was, there's two incidents that come to mind. Let's explain one, right? One person saw that his position is fi maq'adi sidqin inda malikim muqtadir. He's, when you say maq'ad, in other words, place, an abode. An abode. When you say sidq, in other words, a unique, something absolutely unique. Maq'adi sidq, something unique, fabulous, great, very great. So that was his position, right? But anyway, now be it as it may, there's some other fasirat of his, I won't mention it now, because if I explain that, then I have to explain what it refers to, what it means. Now that will take another half an hour. Because I can see now that minds are so small, I can just say it and finish it, say it and just bypass, and they'll come and ask, and what do you mean by this? So rather I don't start it off, so that you don't ask me, right? So nonetheless, the same Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi, he says that I have walked the path of righteousness. I have seen the highs and the lows. I have seen the turns and the curves. I have seen the hot and the cold. I have seen everything. From the beginning to the end. The whole path of proximity, and righteousness, virtue. I have seen the whole path. Right? I have traversed. Right? And after this entire experience, then I have come to a certain conclusion. That the thing that is going to expedite this journey, most expedient in this journey, is one aspect. What? Says, Tadallul Tamaskun. Right? That's the approximate word he used. Tadallul and Tamaskun. In other words, to think yourself to be absolutely nothing. To think yourself, to consider yourself, Tadallul, to think yourself to be absolutely really nothing. And when you say think, in other words, that must become like like your behavior. It's your behavior. It's not just words, but it becomes your behavior. Tamaskun and Tadallul. Tamaskun also, to feel yourself to be absolutely desperate, you know, in desperation, Tamaskun, from Miskin, Maskana. So, absolute desperation and absolutely non-entity, right? So to have that type of a mindset. This morning, Mullah was giving me the seri, so he was talking of Nachis, you see. So I'm explaining what a good name it is, what a great name. If you can just reflect, right? If you can just reflect Nachis. I'm a non-entity. But that aspect of non-entity must be engraved, it must be down deep into the recess. It mustn't be just a word. So as I was explaining that Nachis, then my mind just went onto her, the Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullahi. He was an embodiment. If you talk of humility and thinking yourself to be absolutely nothing, he was an embodiment. Total embodiment. Coming from a very ultra wealthy family. But when he came on this side, then you can't distinguish between him and an ordinary working class person. You can't distinguish. Coarse cloth, not iron, not even pressed. So how in India you get these people that are the ordinary class dressed up like that. So this is how he would conduct himself. Some aspects of his humility is to make us understand how he saw life. One person is coming to Deoband, right? And he heard of the Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullahi, and he's yearning to meet him. Right? Yearning to meet him, you never see him. He's coming from Lucknow, a top alim, and he's wanting to meet the Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullahi. So he comes right to Deoband, and he finds out the particulars. So they say, but we don't know of Shaykh ul Hind, we know of Mullah Mahmud al-Hassan. This person here you're talking of, we don't know, you know. It's because in Deoband they won't talk to him about Shaykh ul-Hind. These big titles came later on, right? At that time, they would just say Bara Mulana. There's one Bara Mulana here. Maybe it's the person it is the person that you are referring to, we will lead you to him. So anyway, so about the siesta time, 12 o'clock, everybody rests in India. Because it's not like us. We start off the day at about 9 o'clock. And they start off the day at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? They start off. That's a rule. Every day they start off. So they need to have a rest afterwards. Because they're breaking also, they're finishing their work, not just after Isha, 1, 2, 3 hours after Isha. So a very long day. Right? So it was about siesta time. He's having a rest. So perhaps he was not dressed with his normal kurta, just his, like how you know you were resting, your kurta and you've got your vest. And he was resting, this person came up, knocked at the door. So he says, no, I came to meet Bare Molana. So now it's siesta. If you just rest, inshallah, you'll get to meet him. Rest, have your meals and all that. But now, this person is thinking that this is the khadim, right? So the khadim was instructed to take care of the guest. So he's putting him off to sleep, give him his meals, wants cold water, get this, now he's getting that, whatever. Like how you will address a worker. So he did everything, rested. He said, I didn't come for all this. I came to meet Bara Maulana. Now it's getting a little bit edgy. As he got edgy, he said, Bara Maulana koi nahi hai. Mehi ek chota sa. There's no big Maulana here. I'm the person. Now his eyes opened up. Hey, this man here, I made him serve me for this 1-2 hours. He's been doing all these things here for me. Press my head, press my feet, put me off to sleep. I didn't even realize I had made him do all this khidmat. You see, these people, ulaika abai, they are our fathers. They did that. They had that type of tawazu. You couldn't recognize, you couldn't identify. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he's returning to Medina Munawwara, and small little children, someone is catching his hand, right hand, left hand. Sometimes if he's mounted, children are all around him. So one, two is putting on towards the front, some in the back. Then that little small children, boys, girls, 5-6 years of age, that come from his street, they say, now you Amir al-Mumin, now you will see us right. They got the heart to speak to him, you know, where will you see us right? So he teared and he says, no, I'm still your friend, right? Tell me, you know, when you want that milk, you want it with the froth or you want it plain, cappuccino or coffee? Cappuccino is... That was that time, at that time, it was for the children. Up to sabhi children ho gaye. But now look at the humility. The child, the smallest child could talk to the Amir al-Mu'min like this. Now I don't think your own child could talk to you like that. Hazrat is coming now. Just keep quiet, don't make noise. When he's gone, then you can start making your noise again. Do we have that simplicity, that modesty, that humility? Do we have all this thing? I'll come back to this, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi. The person that was the general in chief, you know, the general in chief of the whole Syria was Hazrat Khalid ibn al-Walid, army general. So he's the head of the whole army, the whole Syria. He's the head of the army on behalf of Medina Munawwara. He's manning the whole place, whole Syria. There was a difference of opinion between Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu felt that he must be replaced. Hazrat Khalid must be replaced. They had some reasons. Abu Bakr had reasons. Umar had reasons as well. Anyway, when Hazrat Abu Bakr passed away, then Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was replaced with Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. He became the head of all the armies there. Now it was a challenging moment. Imagine now, where you are, you have got the authority over hundreds of thousands, people, army, power, authority, and now you are ordinary foot soldier, an ordinary foot soldier, from the position that you were, to an ordinary foot soldier, right? So you think it's an easy thing to digest. Now look at the humility now, right? Anyway. Khalid radiallahu anhu, for some work, he had come to Medina Munawwara. So, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he's in Medina Munawwara, and in the meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu's physique, you know, his physique and his more or less features were like Khalid, both were cousins also, and their physique were like identical, both about the same. So, in the night now, in the darkness of the night, if you're looking at him, you're thinking, you're looking at Khalid or Bülmeşte kim him for Umar, another two. So one person saw Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. He imagined him to be Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. It's a dark now, pitch dark night, Medina Munawwara, and it's a dark night. So he imagined the person to be Khalid radiallahu anhu. In the meanwhile, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was doing his patrols. You know, his patrol is quite popular, right? So he's doing his patrol, and he imagined, this person here imagined him to be Hazrat Khalid. When he imagined him to be Hazrat Khalid, so he went to sympathize with him, you know. Are bhai Khalid, you know, I'm very sorry, you know, from where to where, you know. Hazrat Umar is just remaining silent, because he's the Amir, right? When he's the Amir, then he has to put an end to any fitna as well. Any fitna that's going up, he needs to put an end. So if he's going to say, I'm Umar, then he's going to give the game up. But for him to understand that there's any fitna, then he'll need to see what's the sentiments of people. How have they taken this thing here? Right. So he's playing it like as though he's Khalid. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. Anyway, everything happened. In the morning now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the Amir normally has a sitting. So anybody got complaints, problems, they are addressed to the Amir, and the Amir finds solutions to problems, right? So the time that he has his sitting, at that time, Umar radiallahu anhu summons this person, because he recognized who's the person, right? So he calls him and says, what were you saying last night? That person got a shock now. What were you talking about last night? So when Umar has seen him for the second time, so he says, no, I was saying something to Khalid. So Khalid is called. So, Khalid, what did he tell you? So, no, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. So this person is saying, Khalid, hey Khalid, to Khuda se dar, Umar se mat dar. You fear Allah Ta'ala, you don't fear Umar. Because he is convinced that he was speaking to Khalid, you know. In the darkness of the night, he is convinced that he spoke to Hazrat Khalid. But it turned out to be someone else. Hazrat Umar is just remaining silent. Anyway, this thing ended. So Hazrat Umar then warned this person, see, you mustn't talk like this. This is, you can instigate. Although you did it, some simple man, you know, some people are gullible. They say some things, they don't have that sight and vision to understand. Okay, this can spur problems. So Umar cautioned him that you mustn't say these type of things. You say these type of things, it can spur problems for the future. So you must be careful. Right. Khalid was asked on that occasion, but what's your take? That from this position, you are reduced to an ordinary foot soldier. So what's your take on this? Now that is the humility of the Sahaba. If you understand the statement, then you understand the humility of the Sahaba. So Khalid radiallahu anhu says, see, my whole ambition, my desire, my intention is the service of Islam. And if Islam requires me to serve at this position as the head, then let it be. And Islam wants me to serve as an ordinary foot soldier. Huh? Ordinary. See? See? Yeah. So, let it be. So my intention is not the position. My outlook is not the position. My outlook is the service. Islam wants me to serve at this position, I'll serve at this position. But Islam wants me to serve at this position, let it be. So what's the problem? What's the difference? The idea is service. The idea is not position. The idea is not recognition. It's not publicity that I must be doing this to be of some service. My work is just to be serving. So the same type of spirit at that level, the same type of spirit at this level here. See this, when you talk of Abdiyat, it didn't start with the Diobandi Ulama. From the Sahaba-i-Kiram, it started off there. They caused it, and these people just, poor chaps, they just followed them. But who started it off? The Sahaba-i-Kiram started it off. But just that we don't see the Sahaba-i-Kiram in that light. We just read one story, and just read a story. The whole thing now, look at the whole thing, what was their behavior. They can talk to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and each person, though you can't find a replacement for him, right? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Abu Talha Ansari, right? You can't find a replacement. But then he's an embodiment of humility. You find in Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullahi, he's again an embodiment of humility. You know, I told this whole path, he says, if you summarize the whole path here, it's just this tamaskun and tazalzul. So tazallul. That you consider yourself to be an absolute non-entity and absolutely desperate. Total, you must consider yourself to be in total desperation. Imagine as you're sitting here, right? You look so nice, everything, you're functioning, right? It's only one nerve. Allah Pak just suppresses one nerve. What happens to the person? Just one, you know, they talk of Mr. Didat, right? What an intelligent person, bright person. And people talk so much about him, right? But at the time when we went to go to visit him, they were explaining us that just one nerve was suppressed. But because of that one nerve being suppressed, he couldn't move a single limb. Not his hands, not his ears, not even the tongue in his mouth. Can't move anything, absolutely. Just one small, and that nerve that they were explaining is thinner than a nerve, thinner than a hair. Right? That one nerve just was suppressed a little bit. And as a result, he can't move anything, the whole body. Only he could wink his eyes, nothing else. That's the only thing he could do, is wink the eyes. Imagine you don't even have control over your saliva, not even the tongue, absolutely nothing. But you're alive. But you see what desperation we are, what level of desperation. What is the level of our need to Allah Ta'ala? So this must be a constant feature that Allah Ta'ala, I'm totally desperate. إني ضعيف إليك أشكو ضعف قوتي وقلة حيلتي وهواني على الناس يا أرحم الراحمين إلى من تكلني. So to show the total desperation, absolute, that was not the open the earth. هذا الشيخ الهند رحمة الله عليه is called to Kanpur. Kanpur was more time that I was teaching there at first, right? For about 14 years some odd. He thought, most of our senior ulama, nearly all of them, in fact, they did teach. And then, after some times, they specialized in something. Like, more time, then he went to Khanqa and all that, writing fatwas and Khanqa. But for 14 years, then he went and thought properly, put his whole mind to that. So there wasn't a kitab that he didn't see. Right? Saw it, thought it, understood it very, very well. Right? His father came to see him once, in Kanpur, and he saw us eating very simple food. He said, but I didn't send you here to make money. Why aren't you eating good food? Then the person that was preparing his food, so he gave him some additional money. He said, see, this is the amount of ghee you must put, this type of meat, and this is the works he must put into his food. I didn't send him here to make money. What I sent him here for, that he learned those kitabs. Now after learning, he must go and teach it so that that whole kitab, everything can be settled and established in him very deeply. Doesn't do anything else. Nothing else. 14 years, just dedicate himself. So whatever he learned, right, that is settled very, very well. After that, if he specializes on something else, you know, he won't have a problem. Right? So Mona was there, based in Kanpur. Now, he was there. In Kanpur, like how you have a yearly jalsa now, you know, completion or something. So they got a jalsa there, and he sent a letter of invitation to his ustad, Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind Rahmatullahi. And he would say that this is an incorrect word. They say Shaykh ul-Hind, they're supposed to be saying Shaykh ul-Alam. It's not a respect. You're underrating the person. So anyway, in that letter of invitation, he writes to his ustad. The relationship was different. So he says, see, I'm an ordinary student, but you know, our seniors, they listen to the juniors also, you know. See, you're coming here, so this is a this is a town, like, it's a bit of elite, like a Belito, like, you know. So when you dress up now, you dress up smart with a smart kurta and press it well and come, you know. Don't, because the people are of a different class here. So all the Shaykh did, say, inshallah, tumhari ri ayat ki jayegi. We will consider you. But he came with the same clothes. A coarse cloth, kurta, same coarse. Anyway, when they received him, people are still identifying who is the person. Because they felt he'll have a turban, he'll have this type of a glass, this type of a jubba, kubba. Because this is what they heard of the Shaykh Ulin al-Hamutai from a time. Right? So they expected someone to be outstanding. Anyway, now the time to give the bayan. Right? At the bayan, there were two bayans that were given, right? So, at the bayan now, Mulana was he's escalating, his arguments were just going up. And so beautifully, the presentation was so beautiful, it's backed by logic and reasoning. And it's going so beautiful. And right at the climax, when he was climaxing, he just abruptly stopped. Now, Mothai was very, very regretful because he was climaxing, and at that time, the most senior ulama of the town who disregarded the Diobandi ulama, they just pulled in. And Mawlana was just wanting that, hey, now the right time. Because they will understand now, this Diobandi ulama, what are they? And right precisely at that time, he just stopped the bayan, finished. So Mawlana asked his ustad, hey, you know, that was a time. Oh, were you waqta? He said, yeah, that was the time for me to just stop. Because those thoughts ran in my mind also, because I could see one of them coming in. So when that person came in, then I thought to myself, ikhlas kaha baqi raha? Where's the ikhlas then? If I'm doing it just to impress on that person, then where's the ikhlas? Where's the sincerity? The same, again, there's a bayan same at Kanpur. So one old alim of the town, he reprimands Mawlana that you're translating incorrectly. And a person who can't translate correctly, then he's not in a position of giving a bayan. So the hadith that Mawlana had quoted, فَقِيهٌ وَاحِدٌ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. Person has got sound dini understanding. Sound. Dini understanding doesn't really mean like fiqh, tasawwuf, all parts of deen. He's got a proper understanding. Because this classification of fiqh now, it was done later on, not in the time of Rabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said it general, faqih. Ashaddu min alfi abid. One person who's got sound understanding of deen, he's stronger against the shaitan, he's more severe against the shaitan than 1,000 ordinary worshippers. Worshippers, in other words, he knows about ibadat, he knows the farz, etc. Otherwise, you can't be an abid. If you don't know how to do that farz of yours, then you can't be an abid as well. So that means he's got the basic knowledge, but he doesn't have the higher level of knowledge, right? So this person said, no, you don't know how to translate. So, anyway, the Sheikh came down from the member straight away. He said, yeah, I told his people that I'm not the worthy person of giving a bayan, but they insist on me giving a bayan. Now at least someone has endorsed me being unworthy. So alhamdulillah, so he stepped down. I imagine that big crowd, he stepped down. But ulama kiram, they had it in their mind, if they are wrong, they must know they're wrong. Why they must know they are wrong? So that there must be no repetition. Now, I'm in the wrong, I don't know the wrong, I don't know the mistake. Then I will repeat the mistake. Right? If I know the wrong, then I won't repeat the mistake. Right? So, without feeling embarrassed at all, no embarrassment, the crowd is there. He went to that senior alim. So he asked him, you know, I slipped up somewhere and you pulled out my mistake, but I just want to know what was the mistake. So he says, no, it's not supposed to be severe, right? It's not supposed to be severe. It's supposed to be... It's not supposed to be weightier, you know. It's supposed to be more aggressive, you know. More aggressive, right? Approximately, I'm kidding, right? All right. So, the Shaykh Ahmad asked him, all right, you know, There is a hadith that Ahyanan Ya'ati Ilayya wa huwa ashaddu ali. That wahi comes to me, right? Wahi comes to me. Now, Nabi is explaining the feeling that he goes through at the time of receiving wahi. Ahyanan Ya'ati Ilayya wa huwa ashaddu ali. It comes to me. Now, that same word that was used in this hadith here appears here. So, how are you going to translate it? You're going to translate it, it's severe and hard, or say that hadith is very, very aggressive. How are you going to translate it? So, I made a mistake. Now, the Shaykh is not saying, hey, but you know, you caused me such an embarrassment for this whole public here, you ran me down, whereas you don't know your stuff. You don't know your stuff yourself. One person is coming to Dioban, so one Hindu accompanies him and says, you know, I got some work at Dioban as well. My food arrangements, I will do it. I can't eat with you people because you all eat meat and all that. I can't eat with you. But I just need some place for sleeping for two nights. It's all right. So he went to the Sheikhul Hind Rahman's place. Now, everybody's asleep. This is a Hindu, gave him a charpai, a bedding to sleep. And he's asleep, or he's still going off to sleep. Now, that Hindu has gone fast asleep. In the kitab, they got kharrata le rahe. So, Maulana Thayyar, he's saying, that Hindu is saying, you know, khar, 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 khar. So he's saying, ana kharrul, ana khar, ana khar. Khar is a Persian word. Khar means donkey. I'm a donkey. Anyway, so Maulana sneaked out. He saw that this person is fast asleep. That mehman of his, that Muslim, he's still awake. And this Hindu is fast asleep. But he's a guest. He came at his residence to be a guest there. So Maulana went, slowly sneaked into that Hindu, and he's pressing his feet. And this person is enjoying his slow massage he's giving him, and he doesn't even realize what's happening. So this Khadim of Maulana's, he saw the whole thing. He said, what are you doing? He said, listen, this person is my guest, not your guest. You know what's right for you to sleep. So he had to give that authoritative tone. Otherwise, he would have interrupted this whole thing. This whole thing he would have interrupted. And I saw something similar with the Zamana Sayyid Khan Sabr, that was who we saw, right? Sheikh Rindar was that Zamana. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sabr, and if he's gone to a new place, right, he's in Jamaat always, right, so he's going to one masjid, then he'll do two things. I talk of India, conditions there are a little bit different to our conditions here. So if it's a markaz that he's going to, then he'll give a big amount there. Because the markaz is taking care of all the people that are coming, right. So we can't just go and eat from a place. Understand, all right, it's some expenses that are incurred. All right, like how we go to Mount Muslim, give something. Some expenses are incurred. They are incurring their expenses. Now we need to understand. So Maulana will give a substantial, either some he'll give or in kind. Like for example, they're using sugar, rice, oil, all these things are there. So he'll bring a big amount and leave it there. So he'll just cover up. Right? That was the one thing that he will do. And the second thing that Maulana Khansa would do is he'll go and see that the wuzu and the toilets are clean. So he'll go, if he's not right, then he'll clean it himself. And in the process, if someone comes to help, say, you just stay out now. You saw it dirty, why didn't you clean it up? Now I started off, now you want to come and clean up, you don't want to clean up, you want to help me out. I can manage myself. So you, if you know what's good for you, you just stick out there, let me do the thing now. He won't give him a chance, he'll do it himself. So this buzruk became buzruk like that, by not sitting here only. Listening to Bayan, they exerted themselves in the tawazu, this humility. Says our buzugana, they were outstanding. You know, it was a chip above everybody else. You can't find that. A combination of ishq, one side on ishq, you got a muhabbat, then you got humility, and the humility to another level. You know? A new student came to the madrasa. As he came in now, and he needs to be welcomed, familiarized, it's new. Dioban is a big place. Now, Well, I could see that he's a good, he seems to be a good student, and he doesn't have a bedding. So he reached up home. Now, he's the Sheikh al-Hadith, the greatest in the whole madrasa. Reached up home, brought a charpai on his back. Now, as he's just about reaching the madrasa, the student noticed, said, Al-Khari, say, yeah, you think I'm a servant? Yeah, you take it now. He made it as though he's not humble. As though you think I'm your servant? I'm not your servant. Just take your bed now. So all that humility from his home, he raised from his home right till the madrasa entrance, he did it himself. But now just to camouflage his humility, he says, I'm not a servant now, you can do it. So they say, you see, as you lower yourself, Allah Ta'ala elevates you. So the few people, Allah Ta'ala gave choice students. One was the Shaykh Al-Nahl. So you can't, in that zamana, you can't think of an outstanding buzruq and alim that wasn't the student of the Shaykh Al-Nahl. Any person at that time that you can think of, you know, he was connected to directly to the Shaykh Al-Nahl. For Mu'tamir, Imam of Tasawuf, etc., Tafsir, etc. Talk of Mu'tamir Madani, Rahmatullahi, Imam of Jihad and Hadith, right? Talk of Hadith, a walking library, Amr Shah Kashmiri, he's a student. Talk of Tabligh, Mu'a Ilyas, he's a student. Any person that was outstanding in that zamana was directly connected to this person. But now you see the humility on one side. Ramadan time comes, and the duration of his namaz is such that his feet are getting swollen. Now, he's not worried now, but he says, hey, Hazrat, your feet is getting swollen. Duration, now 3 hours, 2 hours at a time, he's standing up, 4 hours. He said, Alhamdulillah, I am in conformity with the sunnah. The Muslim's foot also swelled up at that time. Now, see how they looked, how they thought, what was their behavior, what was the outlook of life. It was a totally different thing. You couldn't see the humility. The way they camouflaged their humility, they were humble, but they camouflaged it. You couldn't see it. The train stopped now for some reason. Right? And the passengers had to get off. So the Sheikh Rin also is there. And Mu'tamir is also in that same train. So both got off. So Mu'tamir was known for his bayans. Right? So the townspeople, they asked both of them to eat, you know, to join the meals, right? The Sheikh Rin Hamad accepted readily. And Mu'tamir says, see, it's not my habit. I don't give a bayan. I don't do some work. I don't eat in that place. I did some work. I gave some bayan. Something happened. Then I don't mind eating also. So the Sheikh Rin Hamad says, hum hi aise hai ke muft mein kha lete hain. I just eat for free, you know, I don't do anything, I just eat like that. Mu'tamir, the way I felt embarrassed at that time, but I couldn't say anything because he's my ustad. But now see how they camouflage the humility. They humble, you can't make out the humility. But now you see this humility, you give it to Allah Ta'ala and what He gives you in turn. What happens in this age, we think it is just to be more smart, more beautiful presentation. The more we do that, the more acceptance we get. It's not like that. You look at this Bu Ali Sina, the founder of medicine, right? Such an intelligent person. They call him the Avicenna, right? But when Mullah Jami Rahmatullah saw him being thrown to Jahannam, because he wanted to reach Allah Ta'ala bypassing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He felt, the philosophers at one age, they felt that there is a creator and the Nabis are also true. But the Nabi are for the lame person, you know, for the lay person. For the super intelligent, they don't need to go through a Nabi because their brains will take them straight to Allah Ta'ala. They don't need to go through a Nabi. The layman, he needs a guide, but the one that is super intelligent, he doesn't need a guide. Now, he went to bypass and he got thrown into Jahannam. So you see this aspect of humility. Tamaskun or Tazallul. So Tazallul, right? But this topic has to continuum now, this thing has to, because I just gave one dimension. So what will bring you to the level of the Zalzul and Tamaskun, what will bring you, that's another topic on its own. And the time is up now. Allah Akbar.